first without running order.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm lost.
Oh no.
I mean, I can't even remember what my name is anymore. I'm completely confused.
Yeah, he was right. Well,
That's what happened to you earlier on, Robin.
Yeah.
We decided because we could communicate with each other perfectly. Then there's this load of static where you were, so we assumed you'd watched the wrong video and you'd been taken to the Netherworld by Satagor from the Ring.
It's the Ring. Right, let's get that out of the way.
Excellent.
Yeah. Shall we do a show then?
Yeah.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. My mind is going. I can feel it.
The Full Circle Side Pod, Episode 12, for Friday, October 26, 2012. We're like the Sugar Babes.
Hello world, and welcome to the Full Circle Side Pod. Have you missed us? This is Robin Catling, trying to wrangle the old team, which has not been easy since we've all migrated to various bits of new technology. It's like we've never been away. So, good afternoon, Mr. David Wilkins.
Hello, I must say I'm feeling thoroughly wrangled today.
And back by popular demand, hello to Mr. Ed Hewitt.
Really? Don't you make me blush now? But hello, guys.
The Full Circle Podcast is the companion to Full Circle Magazine, the independent magazine for the Ubuntu community. Find us at www.fullcirclemagazine.org/podcast.
So how are we all on this rather grey British autumn day?
It's really good.
Been a while.
Has it been over a year?
It's something like that, yeah. Doesn't time fly when you're having fun?
I know, I'm trying to think when the last show went out with it all.
It was a long time ago. We've had Les since then. And yes, we've had lots of Alan O'Donoghue as well.
And Popey came on.
Popey's very exciting.
I was going to try and get him on at the moment, but apparently he's over at UDS scoffing lots of Danish pastries.
Well, I've been keeping very up to speed on his Google Plus channel, and I must say he seems very much to have his finger on the Ubuntu pulse.
One would hope so, given that he's product engineering strategy manager up there these days.
Otherwise known as the king of Ubuntu.
Make mine with two sugars, please, Alan.
We're kind of like... Who was it called? Not Destiny's Child. We're kind of like...
The Spice Girls. Yeah, we're like them. We're exactly like them.
Oh, the Sugar Babes. That's it.
How are we like the Sugar Babes?
There was the original three, and then each one of them disappeared, and a new member was brought in. So I disappeared, you brought in Les... Dave disappeared to bring someone else in, and eventually now they've formed the original team are now gone, and there's just three of the new people in the Sugar Babes. That's why we like the Sugar Babes.
When did I disappear? I mean, as far as I can remember, I've always been here.
We'll say the last show featured none of us.
No, that's very true.
That's true. We all did disappear.
Exactly.
I remember us all disappear. I remember that very vividly.
Hmm. Yeah, well. I'm not sure. This is giving me a mental picture I could well do without. Yeah.
I'm like some sort of super mega celebrity now. I'll tell all my friends just so they know. Unfortunately, Robin, you are my only friend.
Well, you did a damn good job of ignoring me yesterday.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't. I just had a very surprising day. I got offered a job selling distressed assets for a minimum wage and full time.
Right.
I don't really want to do that.
No, sounds like quite a distressing job.
It's just essentially just building relationships with big banks like RBS and Credit Suisse, etc., and hoping to find out what sort of distressed assets they're looking to get rid of. sort of quietly. And because they already have a list of clients, so it's just a matter of finding these distressed assets, packaging them together, and making a nice little fact sheet that tells potential buyers all they're worth and selling them.
This all sounds a little bit pre-financial crash 2008 to me.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I'm not selling subprime mortgages here. I'm selling actual physical assets like yachts or aeroplanes.
Okay.
So actually, it's the other end. I mean, if people invested in actual property rather than property debt, then it'd be all right. And then I'd have a load of property. And then those people wouldn't have anywhere to live.
Right.
How is the new podcast coming along?
Well, the boys were doing fine until they got bogged down doing lots of events and conferences and unconferences and various other things, so they're running seriously late. Apparently, they recorded something last week, but I have no idea when it's coming out. And that's after a hiatus of about a month and a half or 2 months.
Sounds familiar.
So they were no better at getting the schedule together than us?
Of course not.
What do they bring to the table? What's new and dynamic about this new grouping?
It's four northern blokes mumbling across a table at each other in a room.
They're in a room, though. That's good.
we've only got one northern bloke.
So they don't have the hour and a half of faffing about trying to connect remotely like we've just done. But unfortunately, they will be completely unintelligible to anybody outside a 50-mile radius of Lancashire.
Yeah, also, this new podcast, are they, what do they actually talk about? I've noticed it's got a similar sort of agenda to us.
Yeah, it's pretty close to what we used to do. Mm. Only they're slightly more technical and, yeah.
That's not very hard.
Okay.
You have to turn the automajig and push the button.
Some of it is like the Four Yorkshiremen Monty Python sketch, and some of it, they actually talk about technical stuff.
Is it all terminal?
No. Well, I'm not dead yet, so I presume not.
No.
I have to listen to all the episodes.
No, sorry, does it all terminal commands?
No, they are quite general purpose about the whole thing.
And are they anti-unity and anti-people?
No. They've had one or two decent arguments about the thing. I think they're fairly evenly split.
That's good.
So more to the point, gentlemen. What have we all been up to in the last year or so?
Well, I have. I finished my degree. And I've started an interesting blog, which I'm sure you'll be able to see in the show notes somewhere, in place of the usual snide comments.
Ed, last time we spoke to you, you were taking the corporate shilling from the folks at Porsche.
Yeah, I've now completed that year at Porsche, and it was an awesome year, had a lot of fun, learned a lot. I'm now back at university, doing my final year, and then hopefully I'll graduate in May and get a proper job. So, yeah, I've done my time portion, now back at uni again. Got a full circle, with pardon the pun.
Ba-dum-tsh.
I'll put the drums in afterwards.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
So, slightly distressing news, shortly after you left us, you kind of revealed that you'd stopped using Linux as well.
Yeah, pretty much after that show, I think, yeah, I moved back to Windows 7 after 3-4 years using Ubuntu. I felt I just didn't need to use Ubuntu anymore. Like, there was no compelling reasons to carry on using it, because all I was using Ubuntu for was Chrome and Spotify, all which can get on Windows, which tend to operate better on Windows. So that's where I am now, and I have found a few advantages using Windows over Ubuntu. For example, like today, having to use my Android phone as a microphone, I can't do that in Ubuntu, I can do it in Windows. For example, like having Word again, having Word documents formatted correctly and not all over the place, which OpenOffice tends to do. I know OpenOffice makes a good effort at formatting Word files, but there's always those mishap tables or images in the wrong place. So it's kind of nice having documents Word formatted correctly.
I have to confess, I've spent a large part of the last 2 weeks trying to open up various different formats of Word documents with tables and frames and various formatting, and good though LibreOffice is, and it does a sterling job of trying to reproduce them. Stuff does tend to go all over the place. It's not exactly 100% compatibility.
Well, I will admit that I'm largely using Google Drive and Google Docs as my small scale word processor. If I ever want to do any fancy editing and formatting and things, I'll use LibreOffice. But I'm turning to mostly Google for most things nowadays. Though I still prefer Ubuntu for that, because Ubuntu has a slightly slicker interface. It's easier to customize. It's very easy to get the whole multi desktop approach. And I mean, I'm the sort of person who likes things to be the way he wants them to be. And while it's getting increasingly difficult to do that with, the Compass Cube doesn't work as well as it did in 1104. I mean, you can't. I don't think that the option currently exists for you to be able to deform the cube. So I used to have a nice cylinder.
Mm.
So I've now switched it to the desktop wall with the Expo button. So I've made that sort of a curved shape, which is almost the same. And if you have it so that you can escape from the rightmost window and onto the leftmost one, then it's almost like having a cylinder, and it works pretty much the same, and it's quite fast. So I'm still using Ubuntu. Most of the games I want to work in Ubuntu just fine. And also, of course, the most important thing is that Steam is coming to Linux very, very soon, as Valve has announced. Something like that. Yeah. So soon we'll be able to play Black Mesa, and most Source games should work in Ubuntu. Just, I mean, from what the if anyone's out there has been reading the Valve Linux blog, I was very surprised to find that. I wasn't surprised, but they were very surprised to find that the Source engines work. The Source engine works so much better in Linux than it does even in Windows.
So,
going back to my original thing before I get hate mail sent to me now from all the. Because I'm on a Linux podcast, talk about how good Windows is generally. Because I've been fairly happy with it. Because all I do all day is sit in a web browser. Because I use, as James, I use all Google. Because apart from Spotify, that's the only non-Google service I use. So I sit in, you know, Google Docs all day and Gmail and, you know, just everything Google. So I don't need Ubuntu or any of the features of Ubuntu, because I'm sitting on the web all day.
So,
you could argue I could do that Ubuntu, just sync Chrome all day in Ubuntu, but I just think there's times where you know the days where in Ubuntu, you try and do something which you can do in Windows, you try and find a way of doing it in Ubuntu, and I just think it's worth it. I might as well just stay in Windows, like Netflix, for example, or just things to work.
Well, this is still the problem that we've got. I love the fact that, I don't know if, well, Ed probably hasn't seen Mr. Shuttleworth's last couple of blog posts running up to and post the release of 12.10. He's still pushing the 13x releases as Ubuntu on everything. So TVs, cookers, microwaves,
T-shirts.
Yeah, the only trouble is there are still just too many days, like this afternoon, where you try and do something that's relatively straightforward, and suddenly you hit a problem like, what was that thing? Cannot find shared library libssl.so.9.8 or whatever the hell it was. It just brings you to a complete standstill. Now, fine, but my parents wouldn't be able to sort that out, and you still keep hitting these things where you need to dive in and go looking for stuff because it doesn't work.
I think that's really a 12.10 issue, though, isn't it? But because they still haven't optimized everything. Some things, some really important stuff, like My Unity doesn't work yet, and they were really pushing My Unity in 12.04 as an alternative to CCSM, because they didn't want people breaking things in CCSM.
Yeah.
But and then they were pushing My Unity, and now My Unity doesn't work in 12.10. Things like Unity Revamped doesn't work anymore. Unity Revamped, of course, is that package which returns the previous customizability to Unity. So you get all those things like the dodge window behavior back, which I understand why Mark Shuttleworth is against dodge windows, but it's come to the point now, and I think he's just doing it to be bloody minded. He's doing it to show that he doesn't have to change things that people want to change. Where it's quite clear, clearly, dodge windows is a superior behaviour to auto hide. I mean, even if it's a third option, so only people who know what dodge windows will use it. But I mean, the reason he stated, I believe, was that having it as behaviour meant that people being introduced to Ubuntu for the first time, it didn't behave as expected. People didn't know why the panel was there sometimes and wasn't there other times. Whereas just simply not having it as a default would be the solution to that. Thus, only people who know what it's going to do are going to enable it. It's just ugly having no side panel or always having a side panel. In fact, always having a side panel gets rid of one of the main points of Unity, which is more screen real estate. You have even less space on your screen than you did in the pre-Unity versions of Ubuntu.
Yeah, it's an imperfect beast. I mean, to be fair to the development team, it's come on leaps and bounds, and now if you are in Unity, all of the lenses and the search behaviours, it's come on, it's a quantum leap on from where we started back in, when did we get the first Unity version? Which we really hated. Anyway, so it's vast, but it's still a work in progress, and it's still moving. Yeah, and you get a six month development cycle, and of course there's this creeping development where you've got a constant incremental set of changes coming through. Windows 8 has just launched after 3 years, and everybody's complaining about Metro, or not Metro, you're not allowed to call it that anymore.
It was the interface formerly known as Metro.
Yes, it's going to change its name to a hieroglyph before too long and start making strange funk records, I think.
Yes.
But everybody's got upset with Windows 8 because you've got this huge change at the front end, and as soon as you want to try and do anything sensible, you have to drop into a conventional desktop at the back, and you think... We have all these arguments about which one's best or which one's worst and why change is bad. Would you rather cope with a bit of change every 6 months or a lot of change every 3 years?
I'll admit, I really like change. That's one of the reasons why I like to use Android and I like to use Ubuntu instead of Windows and iOS, because I'm not a big fan of static systems. I like to be surprised every now and then. Android continues to surprise, and Ubuntu doesn't surprise as much, but it's enough to keep me interested. And the main reason I'd say I still use Ubuntu is that there's a little Steve Jobs inside me waiting to get out. A little guy who likes making who's really really interested in the minutiae of a user interface and wants to be just perfect. If you look at the latest issue of Full Circle magazine, which I have in fact read, completely read, there's an article on there's the panel on my desktop, which is a usual sort of a recurring thing, which shows examples of people's desktops, and it really gives you a showcase of all the things you can do with Ubuntu. And if you want something to be a certain way, the bottom line is you can have it that way. And that's what Ubuntu has for me. It's not about, since I'm using Chrome, I might as well use Windows. But the fact is that those little tiny tweaks are what make all the difference for me. It turns it from being a good OS into being an excellent OS. And for all of its massive errors, and I think I will talk a bit later on about the stuff that's gone wrong in this version, and a ton of stuff that's gone wrong, like it's just a huge amount. For all those errors, it's still a great OS.
Now I have a question for Ed. Because if you're sitting in Windows all the time, what's happened to your Chromebook?
Like some sort of Dutch lady.
Oh, no, I sit my Chromebook all the time. I just use Windows. Because the only time I use Windows is for Spotify, and that's it.
So the Chromebook's still your main...
Yeah, that's my primary computer, the Chromebook.
Right.
And then if I need to like manage my Spotify library, I will go on to Windows to do it. Or if I need to print something, I'll use Windows. That's the only time I use the desktop, and now for Skype. So essentially anything which isn't in the web, I'll then go back to Windows to use.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that is there's too much stuff which I need a more complicated OS to use. I mean, things like GIMP, complex image editing, making logos, making little leaflets, and making documents and letterhead. And I mean, I'm applying for jobs at the moment, having just finished my degree. So I'm doing lots of stuff on my CV, making it look as cool as possible. But it looks a lot. You can get so many more fonts available for LibreOffice. Things like Open Baskerville, which I'd really like to plug, which is it's an open font, and it's really, really pretty. It's in my opinion one of the prettiest fonts you can use. Things like Open Sans, which you can actually get in Google Docs. Anyway, I'm losing my track here. The fact is that there are a lot of things that you can't really. That I still need a desktop, and I still need stuff that's not in a browser to do. I mean, I'm trying to reduce it. It's not like I'm deliberately avoiding using the browser. I'm using it for whatever I can. I mean, I use Google Music as my main music player, which very few people do. I mean, I use Nuvola Player, which is a desktop version, which is a desktop client for it. But I could easily, if I'm using my netbook, I'll just use the browser version, which works just as fine.
It's just where I am at the moment with computing, where it's all about web. I'm a big fan of being in a closed ecosphere. I know that sounds very backwards, and everyone for years have complained about it, but I love. And I think actually maybe a couple of years ago, I may have mentioned the podcast before, I may have said I don't like closed ecospheres, but actually I've had a new look at it, and I actually really like them because of the, you know, tight integration or, you know, because I think works together. So one use case I did last week where, well, I'm editing a document on my Chromebook, I go to my tablet and I can see it's updated, and to my phone it's updated. I then decided to have the same document open on all three devices, phone, Chromebook, and tablet, and started typing away, and they were all updating exactly the same time. Yeah. And to me, that's when it just, so, or when you like, update your calendar entry, or add a contact, it all sync, or, like, Spotify, for example, I may be in a bar, I hear music come on, I like it, I add it to my Spotify library, when I get home, it's already on my desktop Spotify. Or when I add a song on my desktop Spotify, it's really on the phone before I leave the door. I really like the whole tight integration, and that's why I only use Google for everything. Mm. I'd like to use Google Music, again, staying in the ecosphere, but Spotify is just unbelievably great, so that's the only service I can't leave.
Mm. But surely that's an issue with the closed ecosystem.
You can't, yeah, exactly.
Once you're in it, you can't get out.
I realise, because I wouldn't mind moving to the Apple ecosystem, but I can't do it. But I think there's like three great closed ecosystems. There's Google's, there's Apple's, there's Microsoft's.
I don't use Apple, and I don't really like Apple that much, because it's not very dynamic. Things don't change so much, and it's starting to look a bit dated. And it's not very friendly with other ecosystems. Whereas Google is a lot more open in its attitude, and it's a lot more dynamic. Things are always changing. Things are always improving. A lot of people, even my age, really don't like things that change. I mean, the technology is just there to do a job, and it does it the way they've always done it. And if it ever changes the way it's done it, they won't like it. They hate updates. And then they see they got an update, they'll close it, they'll ignore it. And I think that's maybe. But that comes from using Windows Vista for too long, where having an update means no visible change, but everything breaks for an hour or so.
Oh, come on. Hardly anybody got Vista.
I got Vista. It's incredibly frustrating.
I got absolutely screwed over with Vista.
So did everybody.
Yes. Let's not dwell on that one. So, Ed, I'm just going to do a quick roundup and see what new gizmos we've all acquired since we were doing the regular show. Ed, you said you got a tablet. What did you go for?
The Chromebook. I've got a Nexus S now. Mm-hmm. Basically, when the Galaxy Nexus came out last December, the Nexus S, which is the one before it, dropped to £200 on pay-as-you-go. So right. I thought, well, that's dirt cheap, I'll get it. So I want to be on the Nexus series. So it's really elegant, so it's as up-to-date as the Galaxy Nexus is. I really like that. And I've also got the Nexus 7, of course, which is a fantastic piece of kit. For £200, the build quality is excellent, the OS is excellent. Mm. Before I ordered it, I was against tablets because I couldn't see myself using it, because I think I said it on the show,
So you bought it while you were against tablets.
Oh yeah, I bought it to see if I could use it.
So I hate these tablets completely. That's why, yep, I'm going to buy myself to prove myself wrong, because I'm really masochistic for some reason.
Look, it sounds ridiculous, but I didn't know if I was going to like it or not. I didn't know when I would use it or how I would use it, so I thought I'd give it a go. So I was saying, I know when you're at home, I use the desktop laptop for my computer needs, and when I'm out, I've got my phone. So I couldn't see my using the Nexus 7 at all, but the day I got it, I got tablets. It basically light came on, I realised I get it now. It's kind of sitting on your sofa browsing the web, or, you know, listening to music, or, you know, reading a book. YouTube's good on there, you know. It's just a bit more relaxing, a bit more, it's a nicer computing experience using the tablets. And, you know, even today, I probably still use the tablet more than I use my Chromebook. I'll use the Chromebook for some serious editing, you know, when I'm doing my work, I use the Chromebook, it's not a keyboard. But then when I'm just browsing the web or whatever, I'll use the Nexus 7. So,
well, actually, I've been doing some gardening lately, and my garden has a lot of clay deposits, and I've got about maybe 3 or 4 tons of clay. I could probably sell it to you for about 200 quid if you're interested, Ed. I mean, you can use it for pottery, you can make bricks out of it, you can use it to change the acidity of soil, loads of stuff. I mean, you may not think it's a very good idea, but What once you use it, I mean, there are so many possibilities.
Or you could just get a stylus and scratch all your documents into it and just have tablets.
You could do that. It's a lot more durable than data. You can have your own cloud based at home. and it requires very little system maintenance. It doesn't even require any power. It's really, really easy to read in the in glaring sunlight, which I understand that the Nexus 7 will have some issues with.
Not very portable though, Dave.
Well, it depends really how. I mean, how much do you really read on an average commute, Robin? I mean, 2 or 3 clay tablets. It's usually about as much as most people will get through.
So this week on the Full Circle prehistoric. Writing,
I tell you,
implement
is all the
show.
Rage.
There's nothing wrong with logic. I don't, because you've got them as well. It's all well and good going to the store, pick up a device and just see how it works. You've got to understand how can you live with it. I bought, you know, it was only 200 quid. I didn't mind wasting 200 quid on it. And I've discovered I can use it in my life, and it was a good purchase. So now, for me, getting it was more of a discovery and trying to work out if it's something. You know, I'm a technology professional. I need to understand use cases. Everyone wants a good tablet now, so I think I need to have one so I understand where and how it can be used.
To be honest, I do understand where you're coming from. If I had 200 quid, I would probably buy a Nexus 7. I don't have a tablet. I never really saw any point, but I mean, it would be a kind of a handy way to look at documents and things while I'm doing work on my main computer, rather than having to go from desktop to desktop. And also, it lets me experience more of the Google ecosystem that I've become so involved in.
I think we've started a drinking game. Everybody, every time somebody mentions the word ecosystem, everybody out there's got to take a drink. All right, let's kind of hustle along a bit. I managed to get myself a new laptop over the summer, because the old Dell, which was 5 and a bit years old, was really starting to show its age. I couldn't actually run full HD movies on it properly, because it would just stutter and give up. Although the thing that got me is running one movie in full HD, and it would run perfectly for 29 minutes and then just completely fall apart, and whatever you did from it from that point onwards, it just wasn't having it.
Is it only about 29 minutes, or is that just an arbitrary
I don't know, but it was the last straw. So
maybe your computer has an issue with the number 30.
Well, maybe.
Have you ever thought of that? Maybe there's something in its past.
But how's it going to get past the 30 second mark?
Well, you can skip through. It was at 29 minutes in, and you could skip past it, but it just wouldn't catch up and carry on playing properly. So that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Not to mention the fact that I've got an HD camera, and I can't really edit HD video properly, and we've got to produce some things to go with the book later on, well, probably next year. And I thought, to hell with this, I need something that will edit HD video properly. I scanned around and I got a Lenovo over the summer because they were having one of their promotional things. I've got a Lenovo G580, which is a Core i5 with 6GB and a 750GB hard drive. And I'm still kind of getting used to it. Sorry?
You don't fancy an SSD?
No. Because I was seriously limited to my budget, as in I couldn't really afford to get this one, but I found some money and scraped it together and got it anyway.
The sad life of a Norse god.
Yes, I know. I thought at some point if I decide to swap over to an SSD, I can always take the thing apart. I'll wait till its warranty period's up and then I can do what I usually do, dismantle the thing. Which I've done to more or less every other bit of kit I've ever had.
Is it integrated graphics or is it NVIDIA on board?
It's one of the Intel
integrated graphics, basically.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You've got the Sandy Bridge chipset, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's got plenty of oomph.
Yeah.
And a decent amount of memory. And so any of the sound editing that I've been doing lately, it's just breezed through. You can really tell you've got four cores buzzing away in here. Which is a great improvement. Display's a bit odd, because I've got resolution of... It's one of these landscape things, so I've got a resolution of 1366 by 768.
Yeah, same as me.
Which is just... I don't know... It seems odd.
The majority of laptops these days are about resolution.
Yeah, I know.
It's the resolution all the cool kids have nowadays.
Yeah, and it just seems odd. Well, at least the old Dell had 1440 by 900, which was a bit square, but it was a nice big desktop when you had it open.
See, I'm very tempted to get myself the new MacBook Pro 13-inch Retina. That's a 13-inch display with a resolution of 2560 by 1800.
You've got to remember, Ed, you're back to being a student again. You're not working at Porsche.
in May, maybe when I get a job, maybe I'll put the money down. But yeah.
I know, second mortgage on top of the one that you haven't already got.
No, when standard PC laptop displays are not great. They're lagging behind now.
Yeah, mine's got a nice picture on it when you don't think about it's a bit of an odd letterbox shape, but I guess I got used to the old one.
There's a couple of 1080 ones kicking around, the 920 by 1080 displays. But they're on the 15 and 17-inch models, I think, usually, not the 13s.
So anyway, I did my usual trade-off of price against specification. That was what I got. There's an awful lot of Core i3 laptops still floating around for silly money. You have to be really careful treading through various price lists, because you're looking down and you're going, oh, that looks an interesting... No, that's an i3. Or, oh, yes, it's an i5, but it's only got 2GB of memory. You try and compare like for like, and it's actually quite tricky. You have to be really wide awake.
It's quite easy to swap memory out, though, on laptops.
Really?
It's really super easy. Yeah, I've done it all the time.
I looked up the possibility if I wanted to upgrade this one at some future date, and it's another one of those where you have to take most of the chassis apart and...
Really?
Oh, take the main, you know, almost take the... hello, they're coming to get you, Dave.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Is an ultrabook form factor a fix?
The one I
saw them off.
Is, yeah. Yes.
Why?
No, mine's not quite ultrabook thickness. Well, I was going to say, the netbook was horrific. I think I mentioned this one while we were still doing the show. I upgraded memory in my little Dell Mini netbook, and that is another case of stripping the entire machine to bits, laying it out on a table so that you can put the new memory in, and then try and reassemble the whole thing.
Sorry, phone.
is your phone one of those miniature Decepticons that is hiding in your pocket in order to spy on you?
I don't know who that is.
From the Transformers. No, never mind.
Did you get any phone, Robin, as well?
I'm now on a Samsung Galaxy S2.
Oh, good.
I got it on within a fortnight of the S3 coming out, so a lot of the S2s then dropped in price, and I chased down a decent contract for it, so I actually got it relatively cheap. And I haven't really done anything to it yet. It's still running the stock Android that it came with.
Ice cream sandwich now, was it? I think it's two ice creams in it.
Yeah, I've not spent as much time playing with this one as I did rooting the HTC that I had before it. But when I got it, it was utterly dreadful because it's a lovely screen. The touch screen's great.
Sounds awful.
But as a phone, it was shockingly awful because if you made or received a call,
it kept routing you through to random numbers.
No, the screen would go black, and at the end of the call, you couldn't get the screen to come back on in order to hit the end call button or, in fact, do anything else.
Well, why don't you switch the end call button to the power button, which is what I do. Because there's an option in the menu, so whenever you end the call, you just push the power button and it ends it.
I think Samsung must have had a few issues with that particular release because I got an over-the-air update which spontaneously fixed it within about 4 weeks. So,
that's my phone again.
Yep. So, since then, it's been...
I remember that sound. It was awesome.
Since then, the S2's been pretty good, and I've put off... I do fancy rooting it and trying to put Jelly Bean on there at some point, but we'll see.
I'm leaving mine well alone, because I'm now packing a Galaxy Nexus.
Ah!
Oh, yeah. And it's awesome. It's super special awesome, in fact. It's and there's no need to root it, because it's already pretty mega. And, of course, the Nexus 4 is supposed to be coming out next week, rumours. It's going to be a mystery what that is. Lots of rumours have been flying around. But the Galaxy Nexus...
We've seen it. It's all the rumours is an understatement. They've pretty much announced the phone, pictures, specs, everything.
How have I missed it? Was that today? Oh, no.
No, it's been the past few weeks.
No, it's been the last few weeks. The rumour mill's been in full swing.
Have I fallen asleep and then woken up 2 weeks later again?
I suspect you may well have done. Dave Rip Van Winkle.
Dave Van Winkle.
This is how I felt a couple of minutes ago when you were talking about Ubuntu. You know, I have no idea what's going on in that.
Well, you do have an excuse in that you haven't been in that world for a while.
Yeah, whereas I'm using a Galaxy Nexus and I'm reading everything that Google pushes out and all the rumours all the time. So I don't know what's happened. Obviously, my dad's homebrew was particularly good this year.
Well, since Google bought Motorola, they're not quite so plugged in and pushing all the other Galaxy phones and the other manufacturers, are they?
Essentially, Dave, it's just a wider... It looks exactly like the Galaxy Nexus. It's slightly wider.
That's not good.
It's got a quad-core S4 Snapdragon processor, got 1.5 gigahertz, 2 gigs of RAM. It's coming out... It'll be announced on Monday, coming out Tuesday. It's £400, I believe the price is. There's only an 8 gig model, I've heard.
Okay. That's it sounds a lot like Robin's new laptop.
Yes, perhaps I can wander around Lymington High Street like Dom Jolly with the laptop pressed to my ear going, I'm on the phone!
Yes.
You can guess it. Yeah, Nexus 4.
No, I mean, the Galaxy Nexus is amazing. It sounds like the difference between the Nexus 1 and the Nexus S. I mean, small differences, but nothing big. I mean, I think this is going to be the scheme for the rest of my life.
Whoa. Can I stop you 1 second there? The Nexus, there's little difference between the Nexus 1 and the Nexus S. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. That's why I didn't get one.
They are very different. They're made by
They're a different colour, that's true. Very different colour. They're
made by different manufacturers.
Yeah, that's very true. Samsung and HTC.
There's less difference between the Nexus S and Galaxy Nexus.
Well, I mean, they do both have that sort of contour screen thing going. But the Galaxy Nexus is running Jelly Bean.
Jelly Bean.
Is it? Oh, yes, it is now, isn't it?
It'll probably get 4.2 on Monday. Essentially, the Galaxy Nexus has a bigger screen and two cores instead of one. That's the difference between the Nexus and the Galaxy.
So it's basically twice as good. That's all the difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, well...
For some people, that's all it takes to part them from their cash.
Yeah.
Being merely twice as good.
Yes.
Any other tech, Dave? Getting your laptop as well?
No, I'm still using the old Aspire 6920, and that's why the sound doesn't work. The sound has never worked. that's one of the things that I was going to complain about. The sound has never worked. It's always different. Every time I install a new distribution, the sound is different. But it's never right. I mean, now, and I'm not sure whether it's better or worse. I mean, because now the headphones...
I think, Dave, it's that old phrase that we coined a while ago. It's just differently broken.
It's differently broken, yes. Now, the headphones didn't used to work, so I was recording shows without headphones, because when I plugged the headphones in, it wouldn't mute the speakers. But now when you put the headphones in, it won't unmute the speakers after you unplug them. and the surround sound is gone. It just doesn't recognize the multiple speakers, and it thinks the center speaker is the left speaker. It gets the right speaker right, I think. And I mean, and it only uses some of the speakers. If you switch to 7.1, and it doesn't have 7.1, and that's the only time you ever hear some of the speakers is around the back somewhere. Right, I think it's because it's a very weird speaker system. It has like speakers all over the place, and.
It's like one of those cars that they feature in the tuning section of Max Power. It's got 78 speakers, but none of them will actually let you listen to Radio 2 properly.
No, indeed. It's always the wrong sound playing out of the wrong speakers. And I don't know what's going wrong with the unpluggy headphone thing. And it occasionally just randomly mutes my microphone. I don't know why. I think it just doesn't like what I'm saying.
you've lived with your laptop long enough that it's decided that when it needs to edit you.
Yeah, well, I did a clean install last week because everything was just going wrong. The video, I mean, the graphics just weren't working. And it wouldn't sync in Chrome for some reason, which I thought was a Chrome problem because it happened with an update for Chrome. And a couple of weeks later, it happened to Chromium. Then I did a clean install of Ubuntu, and it magically started working again. So I don't know what's with that.
Clean installs will tend to do that.
It fixes things that aren't... It's like if I did a clean install of Ubuntu, and suddenly my shoes no longer need repair, or my trousers have been tailored, so they're now fit again. It's completely unrelated. It's a different service, but somehow it magically did because of magic.
I've got to try and decide whether or not to do an in-place upgrade or clear it down and clean install on the netbook, because the last upgrade that I did, the wireless adapter spontaneously decided to stop working.
I have a question, guys. What the hell is the point in Google Currents? I mean, the icon looks a little bit crappy, and you can only read it on your tablet.
Don't diss it. I really like it. Have you?
Well, I used it as soon as it was released, and I thought quickly, shortly afterwards, what the hell is the point? I got Google Reader for this sort of thing.
The Telegraph subscription is excellent.
The what subscription?
The Telegraph. The Daily Telegraph.
All right. So it sounded like the beep boop. Subscription.
Although, considering he just said Daily Telegraph, the beep boop edit version was probably better.
What's wrong with the Telegraph?
I read the Telegraph.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm on a conference call with a pair of fascists. Never mind.
But that's a very good. I thought anyone to subscribe to on Currents is the Telegraph, because it's really good. It looks like normal paper.
That's great. But the thing is, Currents do look very pretty, I will say that. But they need to work on the desktop, and it shares a purpose with Google Reader. And it's another one of those things where Google has released something that does a similar service to a service they already provide, like Google Places and Schema. They do the same thing.
It is true, but what's also interesting is you can actually import Google Reader into Currents.
Yeah, that's interesting. But you can't read it on your desktop, and I do most of my Google Reader reading on my desktop.
Technically, we haven't even left the intro yet.
Technically, no.
Because we were introducing ourselves what we've done in the past year, and then we're moving to big debate.
Yes.
What you did, Robin, last year, or the whole last year?
What have I been doing?
Robin has been in Asgard fighting frost giants.
Yes, I've kind of given up on having proper jobs lately, so I'm just messing about in the film and TV industry at the moment, which is occasionally entertaining.
Hail Robin Gar, King of the West and ruler of the North Wind.
Strictly speaking, I've signed one of those confidentiality agreements, which means I can't actually even admit to what I've been working on or what I'm going back to work on next week.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. Okay. So,
on pain of being struck by lightning by a large bloke with a hammer.
Is that a subtle reference?
It's not a subtle reference at all.
It's a massive, it's an obvious reference. We've been spelling it out, but never mind.
Now it's been recorded. That breaks the
but Robin is also in charge of editing, so yes. I think that's a problem which is easily solved.
Yes, I shall solve that little problem. It'll be fine.
doing sort of historical documentaries, I'll say one of the most rewarding things ever. You get to go back to you're essentially, it's like you have the same experience as if you discovered how to build a time machine. You get to go back to historically important events and play a small part in them. And then just magically return to your normal life afterwards.
It's the grown-ups version of the Mr. Ben cartoon series. You walk into the dressing-up cupboard, you wander around for a while, being dressed up as somebody else, and then you come back and you put your bowler hat on and you go home.
Yep.
It's great.
And you get to watch yourself on TV as if you were actually there.
Well, occasionally, yeah.
And another interesting thing. Hey, Ed, do you remember Google Scribe?
Scribe?
Yeah, Google Scribe.
No.
Yeah, one of those weird Google services that only I think only I ever used. It was a thing. It was the original predictive text magical thing on the internet, where you put in a word and it would predict what the next word in your sentence is going to be. And there's potential for endless amusement. As in, now I went on my company's website and put the like first half of every paragraph down, and then just pressed enter repeatedly until it came to a full stop and came out with some hilarious things. But I just complained some of it. Anyway, I think Google Scribe was the foundation of the new Google predictive stuff.
Speaking of which, that is the one thing that's been disappointing on the S2. The predictive text is dreadful. I knew there was something I didn't like about it.
The ice cream sandwich keyboard is really good, though.
It's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. It's much better than the keyboard on the Lenovo, I tell you that. That's the one thing that has been giving me a lot of grief. Yes, it's got the chiclet keys. The keyboard and the trackpad are atrocious. You have to the trackpad and the buttons, you have to really smack them hard. I could do with that big bloke with the hammer, actually, because that's about the only thing that counts as a tap on the touchpad.
But there isn't a good trackpad on a standard laptop. So that's one, again, the reason why I want to go with the Mac.
The one that I had on the Dell was actually pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How much touch?
The old 6400 that I had, or what, that I've still got. The trackpad's fine. The trackpad on the Dell Mini is equally atrocious.
Mm. I've just discovered this. I'll read this out. But the first paragraph's quite long, but they get rapidly very amusing. QL Invest is a private equity institution of higher education in the United States and Canada. We have a broad range of topics, including the global economic crisis and the return of the Lord. Our business strategy is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and therefore the government. and thereby becomes an issue of faith. We offer a number of different ways to get there and back again. We also publish quarterly reports on Form 8K filled with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Yes, marvellous. It's a company that thinks it's somewhere between being Apple and The Hobbit.
This is right after Google Scribe was released. I think maybe only 5 or 6 different people had used it, and one of them was clearly a priest, and someone was doing something for some university at some point. Right. No, sorry about that. There is more, but I'll save that for another time.
I'm not sure we can top that. we've kind of been freestyling for the best part of an hour.
Should we talk about the latest episode of Full Circle, Mag?
If you want.
But I know Ed hasn't.
Ed won't have read it.
I'm also a bone to pick with Ronnie Tucker.
Why? What's he done?
Well, I feel disheartened that my section still lives on. I feel, you know, some really good sports stars, when they retire, they retire the number. I feel, you know, they should retire the section.
So you feel the entire topic of games and Ubuntu should be retired because you've left?
Yes. Just the magazine.
Well, how about the colour orange?
And the fact that we've now got 4 people who regularly write for games.
Do they?
Yeah.
I should reread some of the newer issues.
You should.
Yeah, you didn't think they just had the title games and just had a couple of blank pages. maybe with a picture of Ed.
So I realised after my last issue there was someone else wrote a bunch of games. Where did they get these 4 writers from?
I think they all just popped up out of the woodwork all of a sudden.
But why just there and then? Was it just a coincidence, or had Roddy been holding them back? I don't, you know, is there?
I don't think anybody had been holding them back.
Oh, yeah, they were kept in.
They were kind of queuing up behind you.
Well, they were in the Full Circle magazine dungeon, and they've only been recently released. And this is their payment for their escape.
Ronnie's got a dungeon now. Oh dear.
Yeah.
Since my departure, that section has actually flourished.
It has.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they reviewed quite a few games last time.
Hey, not only that, the entire magazine seemed to be flourishing because it seems to be getting thicker and more jam-packed, and a lot of the stuff that I send in doesn't even make it. I did a thing on networking in VirtualBox.
Okay.
Because it seemed to be such a black art, and on my other blog I kept doing odd little bits and pieces and people kept popping up asking questions. So I tried to do a debunking of VirtualBox networking. I did it as a 4-part series, and Ronnie went, well, I haven't really got space for another series. Let's just put it all out in one go. And I went, what? You're mad. But he did, and it seemed to go down okay. So.
Wow.
It's a very popular magazine. Well, I mean, there are an increasing number of games available on Linux. So it's only natural there should be an increasing number of players.
I suppose I should be humbled that the section's still going on after we created starting it in issue 19. It's still going. It's kind of like a family, really, because you do get the sense of all kind of pulled together.
Yeah. Ronnie's in charge of pulling all the strings, but yeah, stuff seems to keep going through.
It's amazing you've got time for us to put it all together every month.
Yeah, well, especially since the page count has gone up.
Yeah.
Because I did one of the special editions. I did a special edition dedicated to 1110 and Unity.
Yeah.
Try not to laugh. And just trying to do that as a single-handed, that turned into quite a bit of work. Fortunately, I had Vicky to do the proofreading bit, which is just as well. The advantages of having a trained proofreader in the house. The really cool moment with that was finding that the translation teams had translated it into Italian and French. So I've now got three copies of my special edition, one in English, one in Italian, one in French, and I wish I knew enough about either language to really appreciate how they translated some of my jokes.
Really?
I have no idea what they've actually made of it. I need somebody to translate it back out again to see what they've done.
Well, that's where Mr. Google comes in handy. What is your experience of 1210 been so far, Robin?
It's actually pretty good as far as new releases go. I have to confess that I was getting so fed up with 1204 that when I jumped in with the QA team who were testing the alpha and beta releases. So I've actually got a credit on the QA pages because I was doing the alpha and beta testing, and I'm not too far behind Popey who jumped on 1210 almost as soon as it was stable. I actually upgraded early because 1204 was just such a shocking nightmare for everything that I touched.
Well, it was rather disastrous.
Anything's got to be better than this. Well, I don't quite get it, because a lot of people were quite happy with 1204, and it's an LTS release. So in theory, it should be perfectly stable.
Yeah, it wasn't as stable as it should have been. And I was really, really eager to jump to 1210, but I'm regretting it. It's a lot prettier, but I had to do so much to get it to work. Mm. I mean, did you hear about that business with the NVIDIA drivers?
Yeah, yeah.
About how they forgot to package the right stuff to do with the kernels. They couldn't configure properly. And then, so if you tried to install the proprietary NVIDIA stuff, it would all break, and it would break, and it'd be horrible.
But I haven't had any problems with the graphics at all.
The open source drivers actually worked all right for the first time ever. I did not notice I was using open source drivers until I actually looked for them, and they worked perfectly fine. But and then after the NVIDIA. Because the NVIDIA drivers make so much stuff not stop work. It's just stopped working. Like you can't use the Unity panel on the left. It doesn't reveal unless you change a certain option to do with the NVIDIA drivers, which stops your cursor from escaping the left hand side of the screen, which stops the panel from appearing.
Mm.
Duh. Yeah.
Wasn't it NVIDIA that Linus Torvalds gave the single finger salute to? There's a little video clip of him talking about the new release of the kernel and not being terribly complimentary about, I think it was NVIDIA and not ATI, but I...
Okay, it's NVIDIA, and it means sort of envy or jealousy or something like that.
Hmm.
I was right.
You have an NVIDIA card and you're suddenly jealous of everybody else who's got an ATI one that works.
Yeah, I don't think I can really carry on.
don't worry, Ed. It's never too late. It's not worth it.
Stay away from the edge of the canal and the railway bridge.
That makes about so well, does it?
I'm sure that they'll iron out the bugs eventually.
keep taking the clay tablets.
Have a bit called clay book.
Clay books, yes.
Clay book, yeah. It's two slices of clay with some wax on them.
Dave, I'm referencing the BlackBerry clay book.
Yes, and the stylus makes a comeback. Well,
like with the Galaxy Note. I don't understand the Galaxy Note.
So funny.
I mean, Steve Jobs doesn't understand the point of small tablets. I mean, what the hell is the point in that? It's like a big phone. Never mind. I used to when the iPad first came out, we used to laugh at the idea because it's completely, it doesn't serve any purpose. It's like a giant phone, and it's. I mean, imagine people walking down the street talking on them. Now that's not a joke.
Mm.
That's basically what people do when they have a Galaxy Note.
Yes, a friend of mine wanders around with an iPad with a headset plugged in and uses it as a phone.
Well, I don't get it. It's when you get those Asian tourists who just walk around Oxford with these iPads, using them like cameras.
Yes, technology. Shall we wrap up, chaps? Because I'm aware that it's gone seriously dark outside.
Yeah,
and we're getting dangerously close to the clocks going back and it being GMT again.
Feedback. You can post comments and feedback on the podcast page at fullcirclemagazine.org/podcast. Send us a comment to podcast@fullcirclemagazine.org. You can also send us a comment by recording an audio clip of no more than 30 seconds and sending it to the same address. Comments and audio may be edited for length. Please remember, this is a family-friendly show.
I think we've had a fairly good ramble round things and dredged up all of our previous prejudices and baked a few new ones. Shall we wrap up and get the heck out of here? Because if we're not careful, Les and Boys will have a new show and they'll be queuing up behind us. It'll be like the Full Circle podcast buses. You wait for ages and then two of them come along at once.
Fine.
Let's call it a day then, folks. It was nice getting together.
Yeah.
We should do this. I was going to say more often, but maybe not. We should just do it occasionally.
Even though, Robin, Even though, Robin, at this time in my life, I see you more often than I see my own girlfriend.
Yeah, I might cut that reference as well, because that just sounds way too dodgy. Yes.
I love you, Robin.
Right, it's definitely time to get out of here.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you very much, Ed. It was nice to speak to you again, even if you have defected to the dark side.
Yeah, that's a fair point, yeah.
So I guess all that remains to say is to the poor, long-suffering Full Circle listeners, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you to Ed.
Thank you.
And goodbye, Mr. Wilkins. I'll see you sooner rather than later.
Goodbye.
And from me, Robin Catling, stay tuned for the next thrilling episode of the regular show from Les and the Boys. Thanks for listening. Goodbye for now.
Manufacture of and wholesale trade industries and their products and services to the customers and their needs are met and there is nothing to install and user-friendly internet... I can't. It's impossible. okay. get it together. oh, no.
You just want to record your bit and send it me?
No. I want to do it all in one go. It's just so random.
Marvelous. Edit nightmare.